is Disappearance Day of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Oh, Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta were both the members of the six Goswamis. You may know the difference between them, Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta was the son of Tapan Mishra, and Raghunath Das was the son of Govardhan Majumdar. Raghunath Das was the one who was coming from a very wealthy family. And Raghunath Bhatta came from a very learned family. Bhatta means Bhattacharya. Tapan Mishra. Mishra is a Brahmin's name. I don't know what it means, maybe teacher or something like that. Anyhow, so Raghunath Bhatta was the from Banaras, Varanasi. And he came to see Mahaprabhu, I think, when he came to Puri, he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For around 8 months or so. And at that time, when he went back, Mahaprabhu told him to take care of his parents, who were Vaishnavas, his elderly parents. And after that, he asked him to come to Vrindavan, I think. And he gave him the instructions to read the Bhagavatam and to chant Hare Krishna. And then when he was in Vrindavan with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and he was told never to hear. Mahaprabhu instructed him, don't listen to Prajalpa. Prajalpa means ordinary discussions that are not in connection with Krishna. So he always followed that. He would never listen to any criticism of the Vaishnavas. And so everyone is engaged in service of some type to Krishna. And as also mentioned, we were talking last time about the Tulsi Mala that Mahaprabhu had given him, one Tulsi Mala that was being worn by Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, when he went to, when he gave to him before he left for Vrindavan. Anyhow, like that, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami him. And then Raghunath Das, you remember we read about his father, Govardhan Majumdar. He got in trouble with the Hussein Shah for some tax evasion or discrepancy. Or it was all based upon a misunderstanding with Raghunath Das was able to work, make some solution for with a Chowdhury, and then save the life of Govardhan's partner. And then, because he was a very rich man, his family was very rich, Mahaprabhu told him when he met him, actually, the first time that Raghunath Das met Haridas Thakur, had darshan of Haridas Thakur when he was very young, and he received the mercy of Haridas Thakur, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj. And was therefore able to meet Mahaprabhu. Anyhow, when he finally met Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a radical person, that you stay at home and try to gradually give up your attachments, material attachments, because he was coming from such a wealthy family. He told him to give up gradually his material attachments. Don't become a falgu vairagya. Means a false renunciate, falsely renouncing things. Gradually come to that platform. By the grace of the Lord, you'll get free from all those attachments as you increase your affection for the Lord, for the Lord's service. Of course, Raghunath Das was a descendant, an associate, an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu and of Krishna. In Krishna Lila, he was actually Rati, I think it was Rati Manjari, or Rasa Manjari, one of those, or maybe both of them. Anyhow, so he had to follow the instruction of Mahaprabhu in order to instruct us. And he went back, and all the time he was there, he wanted to escape and come to Mahaprabhu again, but his parents would not let him do that. And then finally, somehow or other, under one pretense or another, he was able to get away. And he came again to Jagannath Puri with Mahaprabhu. And actually, the first time he escaped, he had to walk. I think it was 12 days he walked. And he didn't want to take any of the major highways or anything. He walked in the most difficult places and was able to go to Vrindavan. Puri. And when he got to Puri, no one could recognize him. He was so ragged from that journey. And then finally, when Mahaprabhu said there was a Vaishnava there, they brought him in, this ragged person, and it was Raghunath Das. And he gave food and bathing, and he put him in, Swarup Damodarma was put in charge of Raghunath Das. And whenever he wanted something, he would always go through Swarup Damodar to Mahaprabhu. He would never go directly to Mahaprabhu. Any questions he had, thing he needed, he would go to Swarup Damodar, never directly to Mahaprabhu, and this was very characteristic of Raghunath Das as the Prayojan Acharya. Prayojan means the goal of life. He taught Radha Dasya. The goal of life was Radha Dasya. In other words, he did not approach Krishna directly. He would always approach the servitor of Krishna, the best servitor of Krishna. He would approach from that side to go to the highest position. He wouldn't go directly. So this kind of, you know, intense renunciation, intense, what do you say, withdrawing, holding back, was found in him. And then when Mahaprabhu was feeding him every day for a certain amount of time, he finally did not want that, did not like that. He wanted instead to go to the gate of the temple and beg from the pilgrims who were coming and get some food from them. And then even that, he felt he was imposing his will by begging them. They had to do something for him. He didn't like that also. And he felt that he would take the food that was thrown out in the garbage and remove the rotten part of the rice and eat the hard part that was inside, uncooked. And he would eat that. And Sub Damodar and Mahaprabhu, when they found him doing that, they also wanted to come and see, oh, what is this nectar you are eating? And they also tasted that. There's also the pastime of what they call Chittadahi, when Raghunath Das came to Nityananda Prabhu. Before all these things happened, he came to Nityananda Prabhu and in Panihati. And Nityananda Prabhu wanted him to make a feast for all the devotees of Dahi and chip rice and yogurt. And in this way, he got the blessing of Lord Nityananda and was able, in that way, to stay with Mahaprabhu and Puri all that time. Anyhow, when Mahaprabhu left, disappeared, Raghunath Das became so distraught. He wanted to commit suicide. And so he went to Vrindavan to jump from Govardhan Hill. But he met there Rupa and Sanatan, and they were unable to enliven him so that he could remember Krishna in a more happy way. And he stayed there with them. And they left, and ultimately he left. He disappeared there in Vrindavan himself. So as we said, Raghunath was known for his extreme renunciation and his the way he approached to the supreme destination was always in a very, what'd you say, halting way, maintaining some distance from the supreme objective. And so he has gained the perspective, gained the position of the Prayojana Acharya. Prayojana means the ultimate goal of life, which he described as Radha Dasya, servant of the servant of Krishna. He must be servant of the servant of Krishna, not direct. a very humble position. And that was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's mood also. He seemed to have that mood very markedly. He would tell us he was a person who was always pushing back, not pushing himself forward. And from his, even from his younger life, he never felt attraction for Krishna so much as for Mahaprabhu and Radharani. A moral idea was there in him. He liked Ramachandra, and actually his name was Ramendra. But he was of that nature also, like Raghunath Das, very always hesitating and only serving from the, trying to serve the servant, the best servitor of Krishna. He was teaching that. Don't go direct. And then, of course, we all know Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's called Kaviraj. Kavi is like a poet, Raj, the king of poets, because of his authorship of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not much is known of his family, his parents. We don't know actually who his parents are. I think someone has written about that, but I can't remember what they came up with. Somehow he was able to write, by the order of the Vaishnavas, he was able to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita based upon the notes of Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar had taken very careful notes of Mahaprabhu's life and written them down. And Raghunath Das actually had memorized those notes and was preaching from Swarup Damodar's notes by memory. And Krishnadas got the benefit of both Swarup Damodar and Raghunath Das's instructions when writing, when composing the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, it was a very authentic, authoritative scripture, having the direct instructions from these two great and very intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. And then there was also Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, which also gave much nourishment to all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas. But there were certain things that were not told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which Krishnadas wanted to report based upon, like I said, the notes of Swarup Damodar and the talks of Raghunath Das. Some of the more intimate things we'll find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita than we find in the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So like that, these three, their disappearance today, they're all worshipped and remembered on this day together. All had a very significant role to play in Mahaprabhu's pastimes and in teaching us the essential things in devotional service. And today we have Bhagavatam reading. Does anyone have anything to say that they would like to add that particularly stands out about these three personalities? Otherwise, we can start.
One thing that I just remembered, Maharaj, was that even in the life of either Gaurakrishna Dasbabaji Maharaj or in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of them told about the other, that their life also indicates the Yukta Vairagya of Raghunath Das Goswami. I think it was in the life of I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. That was the comment of Babaji Maharaj. Because actually in Bengal people are too much, you know, fascinated by this Vairagya. But actually Vairagya means Yukta Vairagya, and that was even that is the the purport of the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. This is the actually explanation I read some that place.
Yes. The instruction by Mahaprabhu not to just give up his family life like that was where this idea of Yukta Vairagya comes from, because if he was still attached to all those things and still practicing and devotional activities, then it would be not real renunciation. Real renunciation means that one is actually has a higher thing, higher taste. One has acquired the higher, one has received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. That's a different thing than simply renouncing out of willful renunciation of different things that one may be conditioned by. Actually receiving the mercy of Mahaprabhu, that gives one the higher taste, that he can give up the lower things. And that's the meaning of Yukta Vairagya. And not just by going out in the forest and living with naked, is told, like the monkeys, Markata Vairagya. Monkeys are living naked in the in the jungle, and but they have still the enjoying spirit in them. So when the so-called renunciate goes into the forest, even he lives naked with nothing, in other words, then still if the enjoying spirit is there, it cannot be considered an actual renunciate. So the objective is to get the higher taste, and that comes from the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the Vaishnava. I can't get that higher thing without their mercy. That which is higher than us, how do we capture that? Unless it is given to us.
Maharaj, actually, one of the things I remember of Raghunath Das Goswami, that in our mutt generally discuss in Govardhan, like puja time and Govardhan's, parikrama time, that how Raghunath Das Goswami was feeling so much separation from, Rupa Goswami especially, and he was thinking even that Govardhan and Radhakund,
like, you know, Govardhan, he was thinking like a, you know, python or something like that. So it is so, you know, we see Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu also, he felt so much of separation. And then also after Rupa Goswami, he felt so much of separation. So that type of, you know, mood of separation is very rare, it seems. And so much of attachment.
But one very beautiful incident happened in his life, Maharaj, that I was just reading yesterday, and I remember now, was that actually first time, actually you told already that Haridas Thakur given him blessings, and since then he was so much attracted. And afterwards, when he was always trying to run away, but after Mahaprabhu told him that, you know, you stay, you know, where you are, and you like Yukta Viragya, and don't have to, you know, come like this. So then he's listening to Mahaprabhu for 1 year, he was almost like peaceful, and his parents become very happy that, you know, he's taking again interest in family life, this, that. And so they married him off. But again afterwards, when he went to Nityananda Prabhu and things like that, certain things happened. So what happened, his mother, she told to the father, that is Majumdar, I think, Majumdar, his name was Majumdar, that please bind him with a rope so that he cannot run away like this. He always had some guards with him. So then his father told, who has a wife or who has who has wealth like that of Indra, and who has a wife as beautiful as the Apsaras, that cannot bind him. How can this mere rope bind him? This boy has got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who has got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then how can the Sangsar Karagar, you know, bind him at all? That's what his father told. So his father also resigned to this.
Very high ideal is represented by Raghunath Das. That is the ideal by which the Vaishnavas have established their teachings, by that ideal exhibited by him. All right, very good. And then, so let's read. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 3. Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 13. The Lord's Pastimes out of Vrindavan. Sakarna Dushasana Solabhanam Kumatrapakena Atashriyayusam Suyoranam Sanucharam Sayanam, Suyodanam Sanucharam Sayanam Pagnoram Urvyam Nanamandapasyan. And Duryodhana was bereft of his fortune and duration of life because of the intricacy of ill advice given by Karna, Dushasana, and Sobala. When he lay on the ground with his followers, his thighs broken, although he was powerful, the Lord was not happy to see the scene. And purport. The fall of Duryodhana, the leading son of Dhritarashtra, was not pleasing to the Lord. Although he was on the side of Arjuna, and it was he who advised Bhima how to break the thighs of Duryodhana while the fight was going on. The Lord is constrained to award punishment upon the wrongdoer, but he is not happy to award such punishments because the living entities are originally his parts and parcels. He is harder than the thunderbolt for the wrongdoer and softer than the rose for the faithful. The wrongdoer is misled by bad associates and by ill advice, which is against the established principles of the Lord's order, and thus he becomes subject to punishment. The surest path to happiness is to live by the principles laid down by the Lord and not disobey his established laws which are enacted in the Vedas and the Puranas for the forgetful living entities. Hyanbuvo yama kshapito rubaro yadrona bhismarjuna bhima mulahi astadashak astara shak shohinko hiniko mad amsire astabalam dorvisham yarunham. After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, the abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 akshohinis, has now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, and Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? There is still a great strength of the other dynasty born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden. Purport. And it is a wrong theory that due to an increase in population, the world becomes overburdened, and therefore there are wars and other annihilating processes. The earth is never overburdened. The heaviest mountains and oceans on the face of the earth hold more living entities than there are human beings, and they are not overburdened. If a census were taken of all living beings on the surface of the earth, certainly it would be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of living beings. If the birth rate of human beings is increasing, the birth rate of the other living beings is increasing proportionally. The birth rate of lower animals, beasts, aquatics, birds, etc. is far greater than that of human beings. There is adequate arrangement for food for all living beings all over the earth by the order of the Supreme Lord, and he can arrange more and more if there is actually a disproportionate increase of living beings. Therefore, there is no question of an increase in population causing a burden. The earth became overburdened due to the Dharma Gani, or irregular discharge, of the Lord's desire. The Lord appeared on earth to curb the increase in miscreants, not the increase in population, as is wrongly put forward by the mundane economists. When the Lord appeared, there had been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. The material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord. His desire is that the conditioned souls who are unfit to enter into the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their conditions for entering. The entire process of cosmic arrangement is intended just to give a chance to the conditioned souls to enter the kingdom of God. And there is an adequate arrangement for their maintenance by the nature of the Lord. Therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of the earth, if the people are exactly in line with God consciousness and are not miscreants, such a burden on the earth is a source of pleasure for her. There are two kinds of burdens. There is the burden of the beast and the burden of love. The burden of beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is a source of pleasure. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti describes the burden of love very practically. He says that the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, and the burden of wealth on the businessman, although actually burdens from the viewpoint of heaviness are sources of pleasure. In the absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation, which is heavier to bear than the actual burden of love. When Lord Krishna referred to the burden of the Yadu dynasty on the earth, He referred to something different than the burden of the beast. The large number of family members born of Lord Krishna counted to some millions and were certainly a great increase in the population of the earth. But because all of them were expansions of the Lord himself by his transcendental plenary expansions, they were a source of great pleasure for the earth. When the Lord referred to them in connection with the burden of the earth, he had in mind their imminent disappearance from the earth. All the members of the family of Lord Krishna were incarnations of different demigods, and they were to disappear from the surface of the earth along with the Lord. When he referred to the unbearable heaviness of the earth in connection with the Yadu dynasty, he was neither referring to the burden of their separation. Sri Jiva Goswami confirms this inference. Nice. Mito yadaisham bhavita vivado Madvad ad tamra vilochananam nisham vadyopaya hiyanatonyo mayud yate Tain tar date svayam svayam sma mayud yute mayud yutain tar date svayam sma. When they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication, with their eyes red like copper because of drinking, then only will they disappear. Otherwise, it will be not be possible. On my disappearance, the incident will take place. Purport: the Lord and his associate appear and disappear by the will of the Lord. They're not subject to the laws of material nature. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord, nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was the make show of a fight amongst themselves, as if a brawling and intoxication due to drinking. That so-called fighting would also take place by the will of the Lord. Otherwise, there would be no cause for their fighting. Just as Arjuna was made to be illusion by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so the Adinandisthi was made to be intoxicated by the will of the Lord, and nothing more. The devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls. Thus they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord and can be used in any way the Lord desires. The pure devotees also enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see him happy. Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. Evam sachintya bhagavan swaraje stapya dharmajam nandayam asa suhridha sarunama vartmadarshayan. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in a position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. Uttarayam dritaha purur vangsaha sad vabhiman yuna savai drotyastra samplushtaha punar bhagavata dhritaha. The embryo of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona, but the latter was again protected by the Lord. Purport: the embryonic body of Parikshit, which was in formation after Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, the great hero, was burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, but a second body was given by the Lord within the womb. Thus the descendant of Puru was saved. This incident is the direct proof that the body and the living entity, the spiritual spark, are different. When the living entity takes shelter in the womb of a woman through the injection of semen of a man, there is an emulsification of the man's and the woman's discharges, and thus the baby is formed the size of a pea, gradually developing into a complete body. But if the developing embryo is destroyed in some way or other, the living entity has to take shelter in another body or in the womb of another woman. A particular living entity who was selected to be the descendant of Maharaj Puru or the Pandavas was not an ordinary living entity, and by the superior will of the Lord, he was destined to be the successor to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Ashwatthama destroyed the embryo of Maharaj Parikshit, the Lord, by his own internal potency, entered into the womb of Uttara by his plenary portion, just to give audience to the would-be Maharaj Parikshit, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in the new body by his omnipotency. By his power of omnipresence, he was present both inside and outside of Uttara, and therefore members of the other members of the Pandava family. Ayajaya dharma sutam ashvamedhaist Atibir vibahu sopikshmam anujai rakshan reme krishnam anuvrataha. The Supreme Lord induced the son of Dharma, to perform three horse sacrifices. Amar is Yudhisthira constantly following Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, protected and enjoy the earth, assisted by his younger brothers. Purport: Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal monarchical representative on the earth because it was a constant follower of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. As stated in the Vedas, the Ishopanishad, the Lord is the proprietor of the entire manifested cosmic creation, which presents a chance for the conditioned souls to revive their eternal relationship with the Lord and thus go back to Godhead, back to home. The whole system of the material world is arranged with that program and plan. Anyone who violates the plan is punished by the law of nature, which is acting by the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhisthira was insulted on the throne of the earth as a representative of the Lord. The king is always expected to be the representative of the Lord. Perfect monarchy necessitates representation of the Supreme Will of the Lord, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal monarch, and thus, in this supreme principle, both On this supreme principle, both the king and the subjects were happy in the discharge of worldly duties and thus protection of the citizens and enjoyment of natural life with full cooperation of material nature, followed in the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira and his worthy descendants like Maharaj Pariksit. Bhagavan api vishvatma lokaveda patanukaha kamam shisheve darvatyam Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwarka, strictly in conformity with the Vedic customs of society. He was situated in detachment and knowledge, as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. Purport: While Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor of the earth, Lord Sri Krishna was the king of Dwarka and was known as Dwarkadish. Like other subordinate kings, he was under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme emperor of the entire creation, while he was on the earth, he never violated the principles of Vedic injunctions because they are a guide for human life. Regulated human life according to Vedic principles, which are based on the system of knowledge called Sankhya philosophy, is the real way of enjoyment of the necessities of life. Without such knowledge, detachment, and custom, the so-called human civilization is no more than an animal society of eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy. The Lord was acting freely as he willed, yet by his practical example he taught not to lead a life which goes against the principles of detachment and knowledge. Attachment of knowledge and detachment, as very elaborately discussed in Sankhya philosophy, is the real perfection of life. Knowledge means to know that the mission of the human form of life is to end all the miseries of material existence, and that in spite of having to fulfill the bodily necessities in a regulated way, one must be detached from such animal life. Fulfilling the demands of the body is animal life, and fulfilling the mission of spirit soul is the human mission. So we'll stop here.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Sometimes it is told that, you know, Lord Krishna is not like Maryada Purushottam Ram, who strictly followed all the Vedic, you know, injunction, because Lord Krishna and his devotees, they violated the laws of Vedic injunction many occasions. But here it is told that, you know, he also established that also.
Higher principle is to serve Krishna. Laws are there are meant to keep the order in the society and for the society's purpose. So they must be followed in order not to create havoc in this world. But the laws are not the ultimate thing. Ultimately, Krishna says one must surrender to him, sarva dharmam, to give up all so-called laws. Following all laws. And a secondary thing, when one understands the ultimate goal of life, one only follows the laws for the purpose of maintaining order. in the society where the relative viewpoint, the absolute viewpoint, takes precedence over that, however, which is to please the Lord. And therefore, Arjuna had to violate so many social customs in order to fight by Krishna's direction. And it's like that, so many things. Okay, I think we'll end now.
Thank you very much.
Dhanyavaad.
Dhanyavaad, thank you.
Dhanyavaad.
Dhanyavaad.
Joy.
Krishna Vindhya Ki Jai.